Hello, everybody. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. We're going to sit down and do a community connection right now. This week, I got to sit down with Bartlesville High School's special education teacher, Cassandra Marler. She just won the TARC 2019 Educator of the Year Award. She talks about some of the challenges of being a special education teacher, what it means for her to win this award, and also just what her students mean to her and how she can improve and what she hopes for the community moving forward. So here's the interview with Cassandra Marler.
The biggest challenges are just, I chose this job. This is a job that I was like, I love these people. These are my people. This is my heart. So it's my passion. Mm-hmm. So I choose to come into work every day and do this. I choose to take care of them, you know, to do the hard stuff, to teach them. It's not always a great experience. Some days are rough, you know, but it's something that I come into choosing. The parents, they didn't choose this. You know, none of them probably said, I really hope that my child has a disability. So the hardest thing is trying to help them to meet, like, the challenges in their lives, to be understanding if maybe someone didn't get a bath the night before. Their mom may have worked, you know, a 12-hour shift and then came home, and you don't expect to bathe your child for the rest of their life, you know, to have to feed them, to, you know, help them to get dressed every day. So I think that my biggest challenge is just trying to support them and do everything that I can to make their life easier. And then also, I understand the life or the world of special education. I understand the services that are available to them. And it's hard to navigate. And so I think that it's just hard. I'll get kids, you know, who come in ninth grade, and they've never been told about, like, the DDS waiting list or any of the services that are available to them. And the waiting list, you know, is, like, 12 years long right now. So they didn't know how to get, you know, those helps or those services. No one's told them about it. And so they're just really struggling. Or whenever it comes time for them to graduate and they have two working parents or just a single parent who's working, it's like, what do we do now? Because my kids do require 24-hour care. So it can be really a financial burden. And so I think that that's really my toughest challenge is just kind of helping them navigate and support them. It's hard whenever you see families who are really struggling because of it. So that's probably my area where it's just, it is, it's hard. Like, you look at them and they love their babies. They do. They love their kids. They love them more than I do. And I love them a lot. Mm-hmm. But again, it was something that I chose to do. And it's something that they're very blessed to have these kids, but it wasn't their choice, you know? So they've had to navigate it because they've had to, not because that they chose to.
Who do you hope to inspire?
So I hope to inspire others to go outside of their comfort zone, to meet someone who's new and maybe different than them. Maybe it's not just, you know, someone who has a disability, just someone who just doesn't look like them, maybe doesn't think like them or dress like them. Mm-hmm. And then to embrace them and to embrace those differences and the ability of all people. I want to show others that whenever we work together as a community and just inclusion for all people, it's a better community for everyone, not just the people that we're including. You know, everyone wins whenever we draw from the talents of others. Yeah.
And I know you won the award. How do you think that you can improve, if at all, moving forward?
Yeah, so there's so many areas where I can improve, and this kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier with, like, their, you know, like, what I've chose to do. There's one that's just near and dear to my heart, and that's just improving the opportunities for my students after graduation, whenever they grow into adulthood, and now they've graduated, and it's like, where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. Bartlesville is very set alone. You know, we can't draw from, like, Tulsa draws from Sand Springs, Glenpool is, you know, a big, like, metropolitan, where Bartlesville is just kind of set by itself. And so, you know, if we had someone who had a job at Pizza Hut and they said, okay, yeah, let's hire this person, but then maybe had a bad experience, they kind of get shut off to trying again. And there's only so many businesses and so many opportunities. And once, you know, we have kind of exhausted all of those, there's very little for my kids to go to do whenever they whenever they graduate. And so I think that the area that I want to improve on is building community partnerships here in Bartlesville, and you know, just taking it further so that they can have a life after high school. Because it's really sad to me to think that sometimes these 4 years in high school are the best years of their life, you know? Like, the regular ed kids, they're like, I want to get out of high school to start my best years. So when they walk across the stage, there's a world of possibilities available for them. When my kids graduate, they've been, you know, public schools have to accept them, luckily for me. And so, but the community doesn't. Businesses don't. They don't have to give them jobs. And you know, even like a day center, we don't have a day center here anymore, but they don't have to take them. So whenever my kids walk across the stage, their opportunities actually a lot of times diminish. And so I want to build partnerships for after graduation so that that isn't the, you know, the truth of where we're at right now. And then another thing that goes along with that is my students really need those services from the state, the DDS services, in order to go and get a job at Pizza Hut or McDonald's, because they need someone there to support them, because, you know, you can't expect a business to watch them so they don't walk off, or some have feeding needs or, you know, other needs that a business shouldn't and can't provide. But that waiting list, again, is so long. So as a state, we need to, you know, look at additional funding for that so that these people don't have to wait so long for these services. Because literally, if they come in and they don't have those services, it can be 12 years before they really have access to the community as far as someone besides their parents. So that's really where I think that I would like to do more advocacy work in that, and allocating money to the waiting list, and figuring out ways so that we can better support these individuals outside of school.
And you were talking about community partners, too. What can you tell me about community partners now, and how can you improve that?
So when you say community partners, the one thing that I can think of is the Play for Burke Foundation, and is that that would be my thing that I would think about. So over the last 3 years, the Play for Burke Foundation has done an annual golf tournament, and they've donated almost $10,000 to my classroom. That money is huge. You know, my yearly budget, you know, for the school, due to, you know, we all know about school funding, is under $100 for the whole year. My kids, they need to be in the community. We learn life skills. They need to go grocery shopping. They need to, you know, be able to just eat in public. Like, we need to go to restaurants because, again, some of these parents are tired. It's hard at the end of the day, or money's tight because they can't work the full shifts to watch their kids. So we need to be allowing them these experiences to actually model what they're being taught. We learn about community signs. We learn about where you go when you get help. We need to go to those places and see it, you know. And that's how my kids learn the best. Well, field trips are expensive, and you can't really – we do like a monthly field trip, and it's hard to pass those expenses onto the family. So – the first year, Play for Brooke, actually, they financed a playground right outside of our back door. I don't say playground. It's two swings that the kids can go into. It's an enclosed, like, fenced-in area, so we can, like, read and things like that. And so that got a lot of use. And then the year before this one, they financed a complete classroom remodel. So pretty much everything that you see here, the furniture, the canopy, all of that, was financed by Play for Burke. That was a huge, because now it's a place that my kids can really feel comfortable. It meets their needs, and that allows us to learn better because our needs are being met. And then this last year, they donated money to fund our field trip. So we're able to go into the community more. You know, transportation, a school bus to Tulsa is $300 almost. I mean, it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. So we are lucky to get to use, like, the new people movers here in town, which has cut our costs way down. I get in it, and they call me a Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus, you know. And we just kind of drive all over town and get to do these experiences. But you know, even if it's $10 a month, that's $120 a year. I mean, that's a lot of money for some of these families. So them being able to pay for, we cook a big Thanksgiving meal as part of our life skills, and the Play for Broke money was able to pay for all of the groceries for a holiday open house where we learned like our social skills, and we were able to go to Walmart, you know, make our grocery list, go to Walmart, and then we go out to lunch to practice like eating in the community, and then we get to come back and bake cookies, but all of those supplies were paid for. We got to go to the Gathering Place and do like a nature tour. We did like the monarch butterflies earlier this year, and so along with that unit, you know, we got to go to the Gathering Place and just continue kind of that study. And then I have trips to like the police station, the fire station planned. I want to go to the ceramics place because there is a workshop there that hires people with disabilities. So it also gives us a chance to kind of tour the thrift store there. I've been working with the Y to try and take them swimming, like to go swimming, because a lot of them, you know, just practicing swim safety, like water safety. So there's a lot of community partnerships there. My class does a non-school sponsored monthly Tuesday night. It's for every first Tuesday we go to Mazio's and we have dinner and eat, you know, and so my students can't go home and say, oh, you know, Johnny's my best friend and I really want him to come over tonight and let's call him, because they don't take down a phone number and know how to do that. But by having like the first Tuesday Mazio's night, then the parents can build community with each other, and they also can talk to each other about things that they're experiencing and, you know, and draw from others' experiences and meet their kids' friends. And then if they want to build relationships outside of school, then that opportunity is there. So, you know, I have them for 4 years, so we build really close family ties with them. And but Mazio's reserves a room for us every time that, you know, we have that, and they're happy to see us. So, you know, Walmart, they smile at us whenever we've got, you know, 18 of us walking down the aisle. We try to go Mondays like at 10, so it's not really busy. But we are, so Play for Broke's our biggest partner, as far as they are working with us to make sure that the lives of our kids are, that their needs are being met to the best, you know, that they can. But we do receive community support whenever we're in the community. Our community is really good at, you know, being inclusive. They want to be inclusive. I think that one of the barriers to that is just lack of knowledge. You know, they just don't know, like, it always goes back to the thing, do I make eye contact with the person, you know, in the wheelchair? Or, you know, it's just kind of understanding. And by us being in the community more, then I feel like that does just provide, you know, modeling just how we interact with my students and things like that. So it kind of teaches others those things.
So what happens next for you? And do you have anything else that you would like to provide?
So in January, I'm going to work on my master's, start working on my master's degree in administration of special education. I'm really looking forward to that because, again, special education is my passion. So it's exciting to get to just learn more about that so that I can pass it on to my students and to their families. Mm-hmm. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. The Bartlesville Public Schools Foundation, they did a grant for me to attend like the Council for Exceptional Children 2020 in Portland, Oregon in February. And there are a ton of workshops about community partnerships and transitions, just like special needs or special education issues that are, you know, at the forefront right now. So I'm really excited about that and being able to bring back some of those ideas to my classroom and back to the community. Mm-hmm. And then I always want to strive to improve, you know, in advocacy. That's something that's always going to be there. There's always a need for education, and these kids can't advocate for themselves. If something happens to them, a lot of them don't have a voice where they can go home and say, this happened, or I need this, or they have other communication delays that make it very difficult. So I feel like it's my job to always be their voice and try to stand up for what's right and then tell other people, you know, this is what needs to happen. So you know, usually it doesn't take much just to say, okay, I think that this is, you know, what's needed. But just to be that push in saying and being the voice for them and saying, like, what they need or what needs to happen or I don't know. There's so many needs as far as advocacy goes. And so I think that I just really want to continue to work in that area.
Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, I plan on staying in the classroom and, you know, I have the best job in the world. I really do. And so keep doing that and loving on my students and their families and building a program here that I can make sure that these 4 years of their life are the best that I can possibly make them be.
And that was Cassandra Marler. She is a special education teacher at Bartlesville High School. She was named the 2019 TARC Educator of the Year this past week. Congratulations to Cassandra Marler once again for receiving that high honor.